Good evening. It's on again tonight. How about that? I'm happy to be here tonight. I hope you are too. It's been a good day. It's been a little rainy, but it's sunshine too, and we're happy about that. I'm glad that we can be here. Tonight I want to think for a few minutes about David. In particular, an issue that David had with a lady named Bathsheba. And I think we all know the story, and I'm not going to get into the story in any detail at all, just to say, for those of you who don't remember, he was on the roof and saw Bathsheba taking a bath and thought she was mighty pretty, and asked to be brought to the castle, or his house, I guess would be a better word, brought to his house, the king's house, and it turned up later she was with child. He attempted to get Uriah to cover him, but Uriah was too good a man. He would not go into his own house. He said, "While my Lord's servants and the Ark of the Covenant are in the field," he said, "I won't do it." So David got him drunk and tried to get him to do it, and he still wouldn't do it. So of course David sent word by his own hand that he was to put Uriah in the forefront of the battle and retire from him so that he might die. And that's what he did. And, of course, you know, the story goes that God wasn't happy with that. And what we really want to focus on tonight is found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We want to look at not necessarily what David did, but Nathan, rebuke of what he did. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse 5, or 1 rather. 2 Samuel 12, beginning with verse 1. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler to the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." David heard this story and it just inflamed him. How in the world could a man who had great flocks and great herds and have all the sheep he wanted take that poor man's one little ewe lamb away from him? Well, he ought to be shot. He ought to die. We'd say he ought to be shot. He said he ought to die. He said at the very least he ought to give him four lambs in replacement. I don't even know if four lambs would be enough. And David was right. David was right. How could a man do that? Well, verse 7, Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave to thee a house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." He said, "Look, Saul didn't kill you. I gave you Saul's house. I gave you Saul's wife. I gave you Israel. I gave you Judah. And if that wasn't enough, I'd give you anything else you ask. Do you not understand, David? I don't care. I was wanting to bless you. I thought I gave you enough." Well, he goes on. He said, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. And thou hast slain of the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of his son. For thou didst it secretly, but I'll do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan also said unto him, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. You know, David could easily see the sin in the other guy. He could easily see that the rich man was wrong to take of the poor man's lamb. He could see that the rich man needed to make a change. But what he couldn't see was when the sin was his. And you know, we do that so often. We can see the mote in our brother's eye. We can see when they're doing something that's not right, be it great big or be it little. We can figure that out. And meanwhile, you know, we're walking around with a beam 12 foot long, sticking out of our eye, bumping into things. Can't even get close to the guy because we got this stick coming out of our head. And we're wanting to tell them all about this little mote they got in their eye. And David was the exact same way. Bless his heart, he couldn't see it in himself. It's our case that we do that. We do that about a lot of times. You say, well, I don't do things like that. You know, I've said it over and over again in my lifetime. Give you an example. Divorce and remarriage. I've known people that would tell you, no, it's wrong. There's no way, no how, never happened till one of their kids do it. And then they're like, wait a minute. And they go digging. And they go finding ways to get around it. They'll find a preacher that'll tell them, oh, it's okay. And they do, and there's preachers that'll tell you anything's okay. You name something, I'll find you a preacher inside of 24 hours tell you it's okay. You know, just name it. Very few things I've ever heard of. Couldn't find a preacher that said it was okay. But we do, don't we? You know, we can't see that sin when it's ours. We just can't see it. How about modesty? You know, we always pick on the girls. I'm sorry. There's a little cubby up over here. I'm sorry. We pick on y'all a lot, and I understand that. But, you know, I sound like I'm 1,000 years old. I know, and I'm not. But when I was a kid, you know, when you go to church, you didn't see a knee. And I'm not saying it's wrong to see a knee. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what happened to the modesty? Modesty changes every 6 months. I mean, really. It is, you know, this is okay, and then it's not, and then it's okay, and then the next thing's not okay, and then the next thing's not okay. But what I see, it happens all the time. I was at Martin's today, and me and Melba were the first two to see it, and she'll back me up on this. There was a woman came in there, and I kid you not, she had on fewer clothes than you would see on a McKenzie when you were wanting to dress her up in something small that didn't fit anymore that she didn't have left. It was like I don't know what. And I was like, really? You can't think that's modest. She couldn't have thought it looked good. But you can't think that's modest. But what happens? Well, every generation, it gets a little easier, a little laxer. We'll let a little more go. And that's true of not just modesty, that's true of everything. At the school where I work, they try different ways. They've tried I don't know how many different ways, and I've watched them go through all these ways, and every one of them fails because you can't do it like this. But they'll say, oh, well, you know, and again, it goes back to the girls because that's what guys like. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And they'll have a index card in the office. Got a little line on it. Okay, girl comes in. Ooh, that top's too low. So they go in the office and they whip this index card on there. Does it come to the line? Well, if it comes to the line, it's all right. If it don't come to the line, it ain't all right. Well, my goodness, you got girls this tall and girls this tall. That index card is not universally fitting, you know what I mean? And then it's, oh, well, like the shorts one time, they had to be within 3 inches of the knee, the top of the knee. Well, where's the top of the knee? Seriously, do you know where it's at? The little girls will tell you it's a lot of different places and it's not the same on every girl. But you're missing the whole point. Missing the whole point. The point is not, what can I get away with? The point is not, what can I show? The point is this modest? Does this inflame passion? Do I look like a child of God wearing this? That's the question. It's not about how short it is or how long it is. It's, am I glorifying God? Or am I not? Am I looking like the world? Am I looking like everybody else? And that's what we want to do. We want to look like everybody else. We want to be like everybody else. I mean, look at me and Mike and Andy and Fred. We want to look like each other. We're going to start a quartet after a while. That's why we did that. No, we did that on purpose, and they didn't know why we was doing it. But that's why we did it. Because as you think about modesty, what you think about is you want to look like everybody else. You know, that may have been great when it was, you know, some actress, I can't even think of their names, but when it's people like Miley Cyrus, you can't do that. But you know, one day, that'll be tame. And it'll be something else. It's like David. Can't see it when it's us. Oh, we can see it when it's somebody else. Oh, I'll tell you about it. But you don't see it when it's yourself. Just plain old morality. You know, people's mouths. Letting things come out of their mouths. Ought not come out of your mouth. Didn't happen a few years ago. Now here. See a lot of things. I see Christians doing a lot of things that I never thought I'd see Christians do. And they don't think anything wrong with it. And you know, maybe some of it, there's not anything wrong with it. But some of it, we need to really stop and think, am I being a Christian? Am I being a Christian? Or am I being like the world? You know, it's easy to pick on these girls. Oh, you're dressing like the world. Yeah, what? How many bottles of beer did you throw away this week? How many times did you take the Lord's name in vain this week? You know, maybe we ought to think about what we're doing too. Maybe we ought to stop and think. Because we get into habits, we get into behaviors that we don't think is wrong. And my friends, they are. David went into a behavior he thought he was okay. All right, you know, I did something I shouldn't have done. Now I'm going to get caught because she's pregnant. Okay, I'll send for her husband. Well, that didn't work. Okay, we'll have him accidentally killed. And then I'll bring her to the house and it'll be fine because she'll be my wife. And it's all covered up. Everything's happy. David's cool, right? And apparently he wasn't thinking about it too awfully hard or he would have recognized Nathan's story. Blinded himself to what he thought was wrong. Are we a child of the world or are we a child of God? We need to be thankful when we have friends like Nathan that will come to us and tell us when we've done something wrong. Nathan didn't come in to David and say, "Look, David, you're a sinner, and you ought to die, and if you don't repent, God's going to send you to hell." Now, he did say that, okay, but he didn't say it that way. And we heard about that at the conference, the different ways you can say the same thing without necessarily alienating somebody. And that's what Nathan did. He came to him and he said, "Look, I anointed thee." This is what the Lord God of Israel says. "I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives to thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." He made an appeal to David. "Look, God told me to tell you he has blessed you beyond measure. And this is how you respond." And you know, we could say that to any one of us. The Lord has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And how are we responding? How are we responding? Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul made it very clear. He said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Do we despise God? You say, "No, I don't despise God." Well, but do you? Do you? His forbearance, his patience, his love, do we walk on him? Because we know he'll forgive us? Something to think about. Acts 10 and 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted and with him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all." Jesus Christ is Lord of all. God doesn't respect anybody. In Acts 10, 42, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which has ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give him all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins." Nathan was very clear what David did. He said, "You are the man. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword of Ammon." There was no fluff. There was no exaggeration. There was no pulling punches. There was no personal vendettas. "Look, you killed Uriah. You did it with the sword of Ammon." How many times do we do that with people when we're trying to help them? You tell them what they did wrong. You don't come up to it and say, "You know, Danny, you've been getting on my nerves for years." No. You say, "Danny, you stepped on my foot just now." You see the difference? And that's the way we have to be. People are not, I don't want to say they're not responsible for what they've done over the years, but at the same time, if you're pointing out sin, you don't try to make it like they're just a worthless piece of human tissue. You know? If they're doing something wrong, stick with what's wrong. And tell them that. And tell them in love. And tell them like Nathan did. Nathan said, "He has blessed you so much. Are you sure you want to do this to him? Are you sure you want to do it to him?" You got to warn people of the consequences. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. We've all done that. I've done that. You've done that. We've all done that. But we've got to know that there are consequences to what we do. Nathan told David that it was done in secret, but he said, "God's going to punish you in the open, in the middle of the sun. People are going to see this." He said, "But now we've got to put it away because we don't want God to be drugged through the mud anymore, and you've already drugged him. So we're going to put it away, but this child has got to die now." "I hope you're happy. This child's got to die." Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. God will render to everyone according to their deeds. If you do wrong and you continue to do wrong and you refuse to repent, you are gathering up wrath against the day of wrath. He said, but to them who by patient, continuous, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. To them that are contentious, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect to persons of God. If we do evil, we continue to do evil, we are gathering up. Through our impenitent heart, he says, we are gathering up indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish and evil. We're gathering it up. And you know, it's sad to think about that. We go through our lives and we do something wrong and we think we're getting away with it. But all the while, it's just like there's this huge build up of wrath that's getting ready to come down on our head. And we just refuse to see it. But at the same time, if we're doing good and we're seeking after that which is good, and we're trying to seek glory, and we're trying to seek honor, and we're trying to work for God, and we're trying to have a life that is like Christ, and we're trying to be a child of God, we are gathering up glory. We're gathering up joy. We're gathering up peace. We're gathering up honor. Because when you glorify God, He glorifies you. When you are God's child, God will take care of you. David had a very proper attitude when Nathan rebuked him. He said, I have sinned. I have sinned. So he said in verse 13, he didn't blame Bathsheba. He didn't say, well, Bathsheba shouldn't have been out there on the deck looking like that. No. I sinned. Joab shouldn't have followed my orders anyway. He knew better than that. No. I have sinned. He didn't try to spread the guilt around. He didn't try to make it anything but what it was. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. It's also true that he sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against his own wives. He sinned against a lot of people. But true penitence understands that when we sin primarily, first and foremost, against God. In Psalms 51, verse 3, David fully understood this. He said, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Against you and you only have I sinned. Yeah, he was using a little poetic license there, but it was the truth. He said, I have sinned against you. Against you. You know, it's really quick. A lot of people say, oh yeah, we sin all the time. I love that. We have sinned. Oh yeah, we sin. It's kind of a group thing, you know. We sin all the time. Well, you know, that's great. That's all well and good. But you got to get it down to where it's, I have sinned. I have sinned. Because when you don't get it down to a personal level, you don't take care of it. You really don't. It gets, what I want to say, it's shallow if it's not personal. It's shallow. People come forward often and they'll say, well, you know, they forsake the assembly or something like that. And they'll come forward and they'll say, well, I've sinned against the church. Well, yes, you have. But guess what? You sinned against God. You know, it's almost like we want to get things right with the church. We want to get things to where people aren't mad at us anymore, to where people think we're okay, where people think we're a good old fella, and we need to be worrying about what God thinks. We need to be worrying about whether or not we have justified ourselves with God. Sometimes we want to correct our conduct so that the church is okay with us. What about the sins the church doesn't see? What about the sins the church don't know about? Those are the ones that we're sinning against God. Well, God provided for David forgiveness. He said, I won't put it away. I won't put it away. But the child has to die. John chapter 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Okay, there are some conditions here. Peter said unto them, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 22 and verse 16, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And for the Christian in 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We have redemption through the blood of Christ. We have redemption whether we're an alien sinner or whether we're a child of God that has wandered away. We have redemption through the blood of Christ. But there are still consequences of our sins. If I've been a drunkard all my life and I've got cirrhosis of the liver, I can come forward and receive forgiveness of my sins. I will still have cirrhosis of the liver. If I have gone out and I've committed adultery and I've got some vicious disease, I can receive forgiveness. And I'm still going to be sick. You say, well, that doesn't sound like forgiveness. That doesn't sound like it. Well, you know what? That's exactly what God has said throughout all time. I'll forgive the sin, but there are consequences to sin. You know, just be aware. You can do what you want to do. You can receive forgiveness if God allows you to live that long and repent and you're serious about it. But guess what? The consequences are still going to be there. And that's not going to change. David, of all people, David, a man after God's own heart, he said. God later said he was perfect and upright, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. David went to God and he prayed and he prayed and he fasted and he prayed and he fasted and he prayed and the child still died. The child still died. There are consequences to sin. There are consequences to it. Same is very often true, though. Very, very often. Often we're blind to our own faults. We need to have a proper attitude like David had. And when we tell people of their sin, and we need people to tell us of our sins, you see me doing something wrong, tell me. You know, I might get mad. You know, I really might. I've been known to get mad by that. But you know what? I get over it really quick. So if you see me doing something that you ought not be doing, just tell me. I won't hit you, I promise. And I hope we could all say that. If we see our brothers and sisters and we see them struggling, tell them about it. Tell them softly. Tell them gently. But tell them the truth. Nathan was pretty gentle. He told him the honest to goodness truth, too. He told him the story. Get the premise right. And he told him the truth. And he told him, look, God's went out of his way for you, and this is the way you repay. Well, you know what? God's went out of his way for us. He sent his son to die on the cross. We talked about that last night. If you was here last night, you know, talking about, thinking about that death on the cross and what that meant and how much Christ suffered for us and the agony that he went through and the pain that he went through and the degradation that he went through, and he was not guilty of anything except being who he was. The only thing he did wrong. He didn't even do that wrong. But he laid down his Godship. He laid down the fact that he was the Son of God so that he could die. And he died on the cross for us. Not so we could just keep sinning. Paul said that was rubbish. We didn't do this. God didn't do this so you could just keep on sinning. Yes, his grace is fantastic, but we're not to sin just so his grace can abound. So walk after God. Follow after God. Do the best you can. When you fall, we're all going to fall. Look at David. He fell. Man after God's own heart. Great king. But he was a man. If you have done something that you shouldn't have done, you've sinned against the church. You know, it needs to be publicly made. But, you know, we sin not against the church so much as we sin against God. If you need the help of the church in any way to make your life right with God, we're going to sing a song, make it really convenient. Ask you to come forward and make your wants and wishes known while we stand and sing.